Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this special edition, Cure spoke with Dr. Laura Michaels, a specialist in hematology and oncology at Froedtert Hospital and Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and also a recipient of the 2019 MPN Heroes Award. She discusses how far we've come in the MPN space, how we can address current challenges moving forward, and what being an MPN hero means to her. So, Dr. Michaels, looking back, how far have we come in the MPN space?
So, really, things have changed quite a bit since 2005, when the initial studies that showed that polycythemia vera and other MPNs were JAK2 positive, and then 2009, 2010, when we saw the first approved treatment for myelofibrosis. Things are certainly changing. I don't think we're there yet, but among the really achievements that have happened in the last decade are a greater awareness about myeloproliferative neoplasms, a understanding about how to safely transplant patients with more high-risk myelofibrosis, a much better understanding of how to prevent or at least watch for and control both venous and arterial clots in patients with myeloproliferative neoplasms. So I think awareness has improved. I think we've got some new interventions that we can use. I think there's a lot more patient awareness and patient advocacy going on. I don't think we're done yet, but I do think in the last 10 years, we've seen a real opening up and improved communication between patients and caregivers mm-hmm. in this disease.
Absolutely. And so I know with all of the advances, I think, you know, that we've seen, can you talk about how it's kind of become more of a chronic disease compared with, you know, some of the other cancer types that are out there?
Yeah, so it's always actually been a chronic disease, at least in its low, less aggressive forms. Of course, bad things can happen at any time, but the key and one of the most important things that I talk about with patients and is how to prevent bad things from happening. So communication with other specialties, making sure that they understand the reasons why they're taking a blood thinner or an aspirin, for example, and really monitoring things. If we do all that, hopefully many people with myeloproliferative neoplasms can live, if not a normal lifespan, hopefully a normal lifespan, and maybe in over the course of the next decade that to come, we can improve that lifespan even more.
Absolutely. And so I think you kind of touched upon this, but because of that, why is it key for us to understand that this patient population kind of needs that constant care?
Well, first, there's several aspects of having an MPN that can improve with good communication between the patient and the physician. The first is symptom management to make sure that patients are optimizing their the control of their symptoms, symptoms like fatigue, itching, mm-hmm. night sweats, and even just more importantly, preventing the development as possible of blood clots with interventions that have proven to be helpful, like routine phlebotomy, aspirin, and in some cases, lowering the blood counts. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think is important for patients, and one of the reasons why I think patients need to be really engaged in their healthcare teams, is because new opportunities are coming. So new clinical trials for novel medications, a better understanding of when and in whom it is the right time to do, for example, a stem cell transplant or to start therapy. So that patient-provider communication is important. And the other thing is because other medical issues can influence what happens in your myeloproliferative neoplasm. So if your heart, if the status of your cardiovascular system isn't optimized, if your diabetes isn't under good control, if you're smoking or your cholesterol is high, those things can make the MPN worse. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important thing we need to watch for and help manage sometimes in conjunction with a cardiologist or a primary care doctor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I know we've discussed kind of how far we've come, but what are some of the challenges that we're still seeing in the MPN space, and what are we doing to address those challenges?
So first off, I think the biggest, one of the most common problems that we have yet to really fully get our hands around is the patients that have a myelofibrosis type disease and who are anemic. That is one of the biggest challenges that face patients and providers because anemia is yet to be definitively helped with any of our interventions. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that help myelofibrosis also cause anemia, and that's something that's been, as I say, a little challenging. Mm-hmm. I think the second or third biggest thing is we still have a ways to go for symptom control, especially in people with chronic lower risk diseases like essential thrombocythemia or polycythemia vera, where they may not have high risk disease and don't necessarily need to be on medications, but are still quite symptomatic. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if we had better interventions for their symptoms that didn't necessarily require that they start something that might be lifelong. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think we're still learning about the best timing for stem cell transplant mm-hmm. and when that can be helpful for patients.
Absolutely. And so can you just discuss some of your work in the MPN community to give our patients some background?
Oh, yeah. So I'm a leukemia specialist, which means that I treat people with a number of blood cancers. In particular, I'm very interested in myeloproliferative neoplasms. Mm-hmm. I work with both pharmaceutical companies and other physicians to run clinical trials of new medicines or combinations of medicines. I see patients in my clinic, of course. And then I'm also, I also edit a number of publications that help disseminate information about the treatment of myeloproliferative neoplasms.
Great. And so I know we've obviously talked about how far we've come and even some challenges that we still see today. But with that, Cure recognizes MPN heroes each year. This is our ninth annual coming up. And part of that is that recognition is recognizing individuals who are, you know, kind of paving the way in the MPN research and helping patients with MPNs. And you actually were a winner back in 2019. So I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about your experience and what that award meant to you.
Oh, yeah, it was really, I remember the first MPN Heroes Award, and I remember thinking what a great event it was, and also to be able to connect both the medical community and the patient community around a given set of goals. Mm-hmm. And frankly, my favorite part of the MPN Heroes Awards are watching how many different kinds of professionals, patients, patient advocates mm-hmm. Get it, whether or not it's a chaplain who's really made a point of being there at times of stress, or perhaps an advanced practice practitioner like an APP or a nurse practitioner who's taken on this role with a special passion, or a researcher who's really delved in and found something new and innovative in ways that we treat. Mm-hmm. So I remember sort of learning about all these different colleagues through the MPN Heroes. But more than that, I just think it's a recognition that, you know, science is a team sport. Nobody gets better unless everybody has a part to play. And that really the progress in this field is from the diversity of the roles we all play, whether or not we are a patient advocate, a drug developer, a physician, a nurse, the person who helps schedule those appointments. All of those people have a part to play. And I think the HEROES, even though it's an individual really award, really recognizes the team approach in making progress happen.
Absolutely. And so why should somebody consider nominating their hero today?
So the best reason to nominate, I think, is to really provide feedback. As you all know, the last 20 months of pandemic have been a really tough time for folks with myeloproliferative neoplasms and for their doctors and nurses. And this is a chance to sort of recognize that we, God willing, are emerging from all this and that things are getting back to a place where your advocacy can occur in a variety of ways. I think that recognizing somebody for an MPN hero just really is a gesture that shows that, you know, we're all in this together and that the community of both physicians and nurses who take care of patients is one that needs to be continually bolstered.
Absolutely. And so just some final thoughts. Do you have any parting thoughts or advice for our MPN patient community?
Well, keep strong. Please discuss just yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration announced that third doses would be available for patients who are immunosuppressed. So talk to your physicians about whether or not your particular condition is one that merits a third administration of the coronavirus vaccine. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you know, keep up to date, continue to communicate with your doctors and your nurses. And, you know, remember, we all have a part to play in making change.
CURE is now accepting nominations for its 9th annual MPN Heroes Awards. CURE and Insight are proud to honor heroes who have made a significant impact in the lives of those affected by MPNs. For more information or to nominate your hero today, visit www.curetoday.com/award-events. Don't forget to subscribe to the CURE Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The CURE Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of CURE Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com, find us on Twitter at @CURE_magazine, or Facebook at @CURE_magazine.